We welcome to our pulpit today Reverend Chua Wee Hian. Reverend Chua is the founding pastor of a church in London called Emmanuel Church. And he and his wife, King Ling. King Ling, can you please stand? This is King Ling. Thank you. They were the speakers at our Cathedral Family Camp last year. Reverend Chua was speaking about legacy, and King Ling did a workshop on how to remain healthy in our older years. And personally, I really enjoyed that workshop. Reverend Chua has long connections with the cathedral also. He tells me he was baptized here, he was confirmed here. So he has long links with the cathedral. This morning, we had a session with him and his wife at 7 a.m. service and a time of ministry after that, and we were extremely blessed. I pray that we will all be extremely blessed also. Let's welcome Reverend Chua Wee Hian.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor June, for those very kind words of introduction and welcome. It's great to come back to my home church. I walked there earlier on, but I couldn't imagine what I looked like in 1941 when I was baptized there, christened there. And so it's wonderful to be back at the cathedral. So let's pray together, ask God to speak to us through His Word. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that the unfolding of Your Word gives light and life. And thank You, Holy Spirit, that You inspired Scripture to be written for our instruction and also for our learning. So will You open our eyes, our ears, our minds, our hearts to receive Your Word, that we may not only be hearers of Your Word, but be doers of the same. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate this great day. Now, it's easy to read Acts chapter 2 and to imagine that day when 120 disciples were in the upper room, probably praying. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit came. God poured His Spirit, and there was the sound of a gushing, mighty wind, and then there were tongues of fire resting on the 120, and people felt filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter and the 11 went out to preach the gospel. Once they were cowards running away from the Jews, now they were boldly declaring Jesus. And the result was 3,000 people turned to Jesus, and 3,000 people were baptized that same day. Now, I don't know what is the biggest number that the cathedral baptized at one given time. 3,000 people. A few years ago, we were in Jerusalem and went to the Gate Hill Hulda, and there we saw the Roman baths, many of them. And most likely, all these people were baptized in those baths. Marvelous. And then the church grew, not only in Jerusalem, it expanded and covered the whole of the Roman Empire. And Luke, Dr. Luke, was keen to say, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He was given to the church to continue the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is still at work. But sadly, over centuries, sometimes people neglect Him. They forget about Him. But we have to ask ourselves, what does the Holy Spirit do? If He is around, He is. And if by faith we receive Jesus, we also receive the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What then? What should our lives be really like? So I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. In your iPads or in your iPhones or in your Bibles, to this amazing passage. It begins with, so I say, live or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or of the sinful nature. Now, the Christian life is life in the Holy Spirit. This is the normal Christian life. When the Holy Spirit comes in the church, in individual believers, we are to operate in the Holy Spirit. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live by the Spirit? Well, three things for today. The first is walking in the Spirit. Every day we walk, we should be moving. And Paul tells us that we are to walk or live in the Holy Spirit. How do you walk? If you got drunk, for example, what do you do? How do you walk? You walk, you know, staggering here and there, and going here, banging into doors and walls and so on. and you reel around, and that's not the way we walk. Because there's some people who think that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they have charismania. Not charismatic, but they are charismania people. That means they act in a strange way. They shout, they yell, and they do all kinds of strange things. That's not life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is not even a walk of a defeated, dejected person. When people are down and depressed, have you noticed their gait, how they walk? So depressed. They look at their feet all the time and hardly move at all. But walking the Spirit means you walk vibrantly, actively, you walk with purpose because the Holy Spirit is by your side, energizing you. Doesn't matter how old, how young you are, there is a purpose in your walk. And this walk, says Paul, is this, it's not an easy walk. It's not a kind of gentle amble. It is a walk that involves warfare. When we want to follow the Holy Spirit and walk with Him, we find that there's something in us. In the ESV version, we are told this is the flesh, NIV, the sinful human nature. When we want to be holy, for example, really want to pray, what happens? We'll be distracted, and there'll be parts of us say, oh, I must have my makan now. I must eat, or I must do this, switch on the TV, watch my famous favorite program, or listen to my favorite music. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I want you to come near to God, to enjoy Him, to know that you are dearly loved by God. You can call Him Abba Father. And you should be hungering, thirsting more for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does that. But there's one part of us that wants to drag us down, down, down. So there's that conflict, but we are to walk in the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we know that we are strong and walking in the Holy Spirit? There's a story told of a Red Indian. We call him Native American these days. And this Indian guy had two dogs. One was a white dog, and the other was a black dog. And he would take these dogs to village after village to fight, dog fight. And then he would ask people to bet, to wager their money on which dog will win. Some days, white dog wins. Other days, the black dog will win. And it goes on. Nobody is quite sure how and which dog will win. But this guy, this Native American guy, knew exactly which dog was going to be the winner for the day. So, somebody asked him, how come you know which dog will win? And he just smiled. He says, very easy. The dog that I feed most will win. And this is true. If you feed your base human nature, the flesh, if all the time is food, 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 you're greedy, all the time is just money, money, materialistic, is all the time revenge, revenge, then you follow that particular trend. That's how you will live, and you will be exhibiting, expressing all the weaknesses and the vices of the flesh, of the baser human nature. But Paul says, look, if you walk in the Holy Spirit, you won't do that. Your lifestyle, your values will be completely different. So the big question we want to ask is, are we walking the Spirit? What's our walk really like? Is it that of a drunkard, a guy who is so defeated and dejected? Or is a guy who is walking so purposefully that there's meaning, there is a kind of boost, vim, and vigor in his steps? And then walking also means you have company. And when we walk with the Holy Spirit, it means we keep company with Him. We can have all kinds of friends. Some friends may help us. Others may pull us down. Their values are different from the Scripture, and they can lead us away from God. But when we walk with the Holy Spirit and people who love the Holy Spirit, then it's a very different walk. So Paul says to us, walk in or walk by the Holy Spirit. The second thing is to be led by the Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul says in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All of us need directions in life. And if possible, a personal guide. Because a guide can lead us to proper paths and to accomplish a certain strategy or plan for our lives. And here, the Apostle Paul tells us the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's the one who steers us. He's the one who guides us into all truth, as we read in John's Gospel. He's the one that convicts us of sin when we are done something sinful. He says, that's wrong. That's a lie. You just lost your temper. That's an ugly word that you shouldn't have said. You swore. And we begin to confess our sin and we repent. So the Holy Spirit is the one that leads and guides us. But if we are not walking in the Spirit, if we don't live life in the Spirit, then we do not understand and know how He guides us day by day. Guides us into truth. He exalts Jesus. He tells us that we are children of the Most High God. That we can call God Abba Father. Call Him Daddy. So intimate. So He leads us into a close relationship with God Father and God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, He led the church in the Acts to expansion, being witnesses for Him, leading them to fresh territories and exalting Jesus Christ, planting churches. That's what we do. Now, it's very important that if we are walking by the Spirit, we will know something of the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a couple of stories. Some years ago, I was invited to preach at SJSM, St. John's and Margaret's Church. And some of you know, there in Dover Road, their church goes up a small hill, kind of incline. Now, I was preaching there, and then suddenly, there was a man driving his car. I think it was a Beamer, BMW, and a strange thing happened to him. He was a businessman, and at that time, his business had just plunged badly, almost on the verge of bankruptcy. His marriage ended in divorce. So he was a very unhappy man. He was driving. And suddenly, he found a hand, as it were, pulling the steering wheel, asking him to leave Dover Road and to go up to St. John's and Margaret's. He's never been to the church before. But then somehow he went. And when he went in, he sat there, and of all the people, he heard me preaching. And God was touching him. He said, wow, I haven't heard preaching like this. This must be God speaking. I wonder what God has to say to me. So after the service, he came up to me and he told me about his sad story. Then I asked the Holy Spirit, what can I do to tell this man something that God is very much alive and that his life can be changed? And then God gave me pictures. I said, look, I don't know you very well, but what I can see is that you have gold nuggets and so on, but they're all going through pockets of holes. It's like an offering bag full of holes and useless. He said, yeah, that's me. I said, God is going to change things and going to prosper you if you come to Him. Surrender your life to Him. Ask God to take over your life, to be under new management. So being a businessman, he understood. And he wonderfully invited Jesus into his life and the Holy Spirit was his guide. And the wonderful thing is, after a few months, everything changed. First, he changed. The second thing was his business changed. No longer was his company going into bankruptcy. It was making lots of money, especially in the Middle East, where he was selling all kinds of interesting equipment. And he prospered and became a millionaire again. And he used his money on mission trips, sent people on mission trips, and so on. He's got a restaurant here, a lovely restaurant. I won't tell you which. I'm not allowed to do commercials here. But his life was changed. Why? The Spirit guided him. The Spirit guided me. And God used him greatly. Then I remember another occasion. This time I was in Hong Kong. And we were talking to a couple from China. Brilliant. They were both scholars from China. But they were working, and the woman was a hedge fund manager, and she was talking to my wife, King Ling, asking how she can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially of tongues. So they were talking away, but her husband was not a believer. And he was arguing with me and another friend. And then suddenly he got up, and he looked me in the eye. He says, prove to me that your God is real. Now, we've been talking, even debating and so on, he would not accept any kind of logical arguments. Prove that your God is real. What do I do? So at that moment, I just said, Holy Spirit, help. What do I say to this man? Speak to me. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit began to whisper in my ear certain things. Tell him that in 1 year's time, he and his wife are going to have a son, a baby boy. So I said, hey, wait a minute. Are you sure? What if he doesn't have a baby? You know, it'd be like egg on my face, right? And then I said, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm a very proper pastor. In Cantonese, Ho Jing Geng, you know, really proper type. So how can I pass this word to him? Do it. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll do it. So I told him. And he was so shocked. He opened his mouth. And I also opened my mouth because I couldn't believe what I said, okay? And then we went home. And they invited us, husband and wife, to their home in Hong Kong. So we went to have a meal with them. And she began to tell us a story that her life history was fairly tragic. She had had 3 miscarriages. Remember, just a few days back, you're going to have a son. 3 miscarriages. I said, Holy Spirit, why didn't you tell me that? And so she was telling us how she was cursed, even by her own mom, by her own aunt, and so on. So we cleared those curses and asked God to cleanse her womb and pray health and strength. So we left her, we went back to London. Very soon I received email from her saying, hey, I want you to know that I'm pregnant. Praise God. Then suddenly I thought, 3 miscarriages. So I really prayed. And then she had a baby, a very lovely baby, a wonderful gift from God. And I even have his photograph in my Bible. Yeah, I don't think you can see it. This is a 5-year-old picture of Emmanuel, their baby, you know. And he was born a year later. And marvelous. And then this Emmanuel, he's called that because it's named after our church in London, Emmanuel. So when he came to London a couple of years ago, the mother told him, oh, this church has got the same name of you as you. Then he said, Mom, why are so many people coming to my house? So this is God's grace. Can you see when you listen to the Holy Spirit, when he guides you, leading me, leading, I think wonderful things happen. Miracles happen. Same thing happened in the cathedral just last 2 years ago when a woman came to me and said, Uncle, pray for me. We've been married several years, no child. And God gave her a child within 9 months. Because the Holy Spirit was guiding her, steering her to talk to Uncle Chua. So I prayed for her, and praise God, she has a lovely baby. And last year, Pastor Terry allowed me to dedicate him here, right here. So God is that. He's always guiding, leading us. And if you want adventure, you want to see God doing mighty things in your church, in your life, then you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and finally, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And that word, the Greek word means, is a military term. Be in your rank. March, watching at the one who's leading you. Keep in step. Don't go your own way. Don't go out of step. Walk with the Holy Spirit, be guided by Him, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit? Answer is in verse 22, 23. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, what He does is changes your character. You will have the fruit of love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, and kindness, and so on. These things will be very real in your life. So when we keep in step with Him, He will reproduce His fruit, divine fruit in our lives. Some people like to be holy, very religious. The Holy Spirit does not like religious nut. Now you turn to your neighbor, okay, and say, don't be a religious nut. Hey, come on, are you alive or not? Come on, you turn to your neighbor, you say, don't be a nut, okay, don't be a religious nut. And say to them, be filled with the Spirit. Can you say that? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have to do that. And when we do that, something happens. Sometimes when you go to Europe, to countries like Italy or Greece, and you said, I hope they can speak English. And some of these shops, in tourist shops, they have the sign, English spoken here. You know that when you go touring? You get relief when you see those signs. Wouldn't it be nice that in our home, we have words like kindness spoken here? We don't just yell at each other, say all kinds of nasty words, but kind words, kindness spoken here. Or in all our relationship, love exhibited, spoken here. And in our relationship with difficult people, peace, patience, spoken here. Let me close with a story. Now, when the Holy Spirit fills us, He makes us more and more like Jesus. Because if you look at these 9 expressions of the fruit of the Spirit, they are embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. He exhibits, manifests love, peace, joy, patience, self-control, goodness, faithfulness, and so on. And when we walk with the Holy Spirit, we would be like Jesus. I live in London, and there was a young man. He was praying very hard. He said, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you. Holy Spirit, fill me. I want to walk with you. I want to be led by you. I want to keep in step with you. Make me more and more like Jesus. Amen. Then he went to work one Monday morning, and he was a bit late. And the platform where the train was, he knew that the train was going to leave in about 1.5 minutes. And there he was. He had to make a dash there within 1 minute to board the train. But as he was going down the steps, he banged into a woman, a blind storeholder with a barrel of fruits, apples, pears, grapes, bananas, oranges, the whole lot. And all his fruit fell to the ground. Now, he had to make a split-second decision. What do I do? Do I stay behind, help her pick all the fruits up, or do I just dash, get to the train, and please my boss arrive on time? He wanted to follow the baser nature, the flesh. He wanted to run to catch the train and leave the woman to herself. And then the Holy Spirit said, what did I tell you? What did you pray this morning? I want to be like Jesus. All right? What would Jesus do? Okay, I know. So he said, I'll miss my train. And he patiently scooped up, replaced all those fruits on the barrel. Now this woman was blind, and she couldn't believe what was happening. And he took hold of him, his arm, and asked a question, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? I wonder when people see you, how you relate, how you talk, how you function in your office or hospital, school, neighborhood, supermarket, whatever. Are you like Jesus? Because that's the mark. Because when the Pentecost is not just about some great, sensational, phenomenal happening, it's very practical, down to earth. The Holy Spirit guides us, governs us, our values, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we live, so that people will say, ha, I see something so different. This guy, this man, this woman is so Spirit-filled, so much like Jesus. So may our dream be to be like Him. And finally, before I pray, in your bulletin, there's an insertion which has been printed about 4 habits. These are habits for people to develop strong character. And after evening service, I will be here with Pastor June to explain this and to pray for those who are sick. Because if you know these habits, it's like a process helping you to overcome even cancer. I can't tell you stories of how I prayed with cancer patients and how when they followed these habits, their whole life changed and healing and victory has come. So I invite you afterwards, if you want to hear these habits that are life-changing. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are alive, operating around us and in the world, leading your people to truth, leading your people to exciting journeys, and we want to walk with you. Forgive us, Lord, for walking our own way, walking the way of the flesh. We confess our sin. We want to repent. We want to follow you and your way. So, Holy Spirit, will you come and fill each one of us that we may be more and more like the Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Amen.